I've been impressed by a 4-string bass player. I've been impressed by a 12-string guitar, but this, wow, beautiful wind. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, today is the first Sunday, as you heard, in Advent. It's our first week in our 4 weeks of anticipation of celebrating the coming, the birth of Jesus Christ. It's also the time of year when we start pulling out our favorite Christmas songs. You know, those deep spiritual songs such as, "Oh Christmas, Don't Be Late" by Alvin and the Chipmunks, "I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas," "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or its counterpart, "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer," "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus," one by Gail Peavy that I don't remember, but somebody was singing it to me earlier, "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas." You must know that one. I like this one by Bob Rivers, "Chipmunks Roasting by an Open Fire." And that old famous, "The 12 Days of Christmas." There's a version on fast foods of that, "The 12 Days of Fast Food." I'll just give you the 12th day. It says, "On the 12th day of Christmas, my drive-thru gave to me 12 bags of Pepto, 11 pounds of blubber, 10 baked potatoes, 9 Polish hot dogs, 8 bowls of chili, 7 pints of coleslaw, 6 chocolate milkshakes, 5 onion rings, 4 Egg McMuffins, 3 Biggie fries, 2 Happy Meals, and a big bacon classic with cheese." Doesn't that sound like fun? Then there are the other familiar songs, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," "Oh Christmas Tree," "Frosty the Snowman," "Jingle Bells," but then the ones that really do have spiritual significance. "O Come Emmanuel," as we think of hope, and "O Come God with Us," as we think about today. "Silent Night," "Away in a Manger," "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," "What Child Is This?" "O Little Town of Bethlehem," "Joy to the World," "O Come All Ye Faithful," "The First Noel," "Came Upon a Midnight Clear." I'm sure as you heard those, you could start thinking of memories or even words. Well, music and Christmas, we find, go together. And it's always been so, even from the very beginning. But did you realize that there were Christmas songs before the Christmas songs? Christmas songs sung by the central characters in the Christmas story. Christmas songs given to us by such as Elizabeth and Mary and Zechariah and angels. And we find those songs, many of them listed in the Gospel of Luke. And for the next few services, we're going to share in some of those songs of Christmas. The one that comes from in the midst of a very, very, and I really appreciate the tone set by the harp. Comes from a very, very challenging time for two very special women. Two women related, yet separated by years and miles. Two women, neither at a place in their life when they were ready to have children. One in her 70s and married, childless, and called barren. The other, a young teenager, a virgin, not married. And our theme of hope for this first Sunday in Advent seems so appropriate in this setting. Because as we come to the opening scriptures in any of the Gospels that start talking about Christmas, it seems that all hope is missing. As we come to these passages recorded in the Gospel of Luke, there hasn't been a miracle for over 400 years. There hasn't been a series of miracles for over 500 years. Nobody has heard from an angel. God seems distant and silent as the Gospels open to the Christmas story. In Galatians 4:4, though, it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." But when the time had fully come, God. In the Gospel of Luke, we start with Elizabeth. The Christmas account begins with the introduction to us of an elderly and long married couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. In 1:6, we read that Zechariah was a high priest and that both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. And verse 7 says pointedly, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. The account unfolds as it tells that there was a day when Zechariah was leading in worship, and as was the custom, Zechariah was going before the Lord for the people, which meant that he was in the temple area alone, and the people were outside as he was doing prayers for them. And while there, an angel named Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. And the angel said, your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will go before the Lord to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, this was obviously quite difficult for Zechariah to comprehend, for he questioned the angel, but I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. And the angel Gabriel replied, I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words. Lesson to be learned, everyone. If an angel from God appears to you and tells you something, listen to him, believe him, or else. And when Zechariah came out, it says he could not speak. He kept making signals to them, but remained unable to speak. And shortly after the angel disappeared, mute Zechariah went home, and Elizabeth, it says, became with child. And 6 months passed with an elderly Elizabeth, with a special child growing in her, with Zechariah still unable to speak a word. How many of you women would like a 9-month period where the men in your life could not speak, but only listen to you? Don't answer too loudly or too quickly because Christmas is coming and you want a nice gift. And after 6 months in Luke 1:26 and following, we are introduced to a younger woman. It says, in the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel, same angel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, meaning the Messiah. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The angel continued, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, no way! I'm not having anything to do with this. You realize the trouble I'm going to be in? Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 38 says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. Two women, related yet separated by miles and years. Two women, one in her 70s or so, married and childless, called barren. The other a virgin in her early teens and engaged. Neither in a place in their lives to have a child. And now both are with child. Boy, when God shows up, he shows up. But think about what a mess this hope is that is being proposed. Elizabeth, age-wise, is in extremely dangerous territory when it comes to having a baby. Mary, culture-wise, is also in extremely dangerous territory, as she could be judged as an adulterer and stoned to death as one. And their men? Well, Zechariah is wandering about, unable to speak. And Joseph, who still loves Mary, is seeking a way to save her from harm by sending her away. 6 months have passed, and Elizabeth has somewhat settled into her life, but for Mary, this has all suddenly came upon her. These pregnancies that they are bearing are truly a challenge. It kind of reminds me of a little joke some kids pulled on their mom, who decided to have her first Thanksgiving turkey. She just never could get into doing the Thanksgiving thing. They convinced her to do one, so she went ahead and bought a turkey, and she couldn't bring herself to stuff it. She just couldn't put her hand in there. So she said, I'll do the stuffing on the side, but I'll go ahead and cook you a turkey. And they didn't know this, she didn't know this, but they went out and bought a Cornish hen, and they put it up inside the cavity. And she cooked this turkey, and as they're carving the turkey, there's this little bird inside. She goes, oh my goodness, I cooked a pregnant turkey. And it took them at least a half an hour to convince her that turkeys lay eggs. They don't have birth like that. Can you believe that surprise? Well, here you have two women, one in her 70s and one a young woman, and these are totally just unimaginable type situations to be in. But Mary was shown her commitment to God's will and plan by saying to the angel, may it be to me as you have said. But when you think about it, who could she talk to about it? Mary had just been told something that was absolutely humanly impossible and frankly unimaginable, that she was going to serve as the birther of the Messiah. She was going to bear a holy offspring that would be conceived by the holy God from the Most High God himself. Miracles just didn't happen, and God didn't just speak, and angels didn't just show up. But Mary and Elizabeth have both had this happen. And for Mary, at this point in the passage, who would have the faintest idea what she was dealing with? Who? But remember, the angel let Mary, who would understand. In verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. She, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, could understand. An angel announced both of their births. They both were to bear a child from different yet miraculous conceptions, and Elizabeth would truly understand. So it says in verse 39 and 40, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now I want you to note something. Mary was aware of Elizabeth's condition, but Elizabeth was not aware of Mary's yet. But when Mary entered the house and her greeting came from her lips, something very strange and wonderful happened. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, it says in verse 41, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This leaping is baby John, the one the angel spoke to Zechariah about back in Luke 1, 13 to 17. This was the setting. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You're to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he call back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Baby John, who would grow up to be John the Baptizer. I know we say John the Baptist, but I'm sorry, there weren't denominations in those days. He was the baptizer, the one the angel spoke of, who had this life purpose, was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, the one who some 30 years later would present him to the world as the Messiah with the words, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when Mary's greeting crossed that room, that baby John leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth states the event itself in 44, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. She didn't say it was just a labor pain or a labor movement. She knew it as a leap for joy. Now, at 6 months, John would have been only about 9 inches long and weigh about 1.5 pounds. Yet, as soon as Mary's greeting crossed the room, baby John leaped in the womb for joy. In my research, I came across one commentary that entitled this section with this title, "You Had Me at Hello." I like that. There was a leap. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What that means is when Elizabeth didn't know before, the Holy Spirit has now informed her of now. Their son was the one whose name was given to be John, who was to be a joy and a delight, who was the one who would rejoice in his birth, the one who would bring many back to the Lord their God, and the one who would make ready a people prepared for the Lord, the Messiah. And standing before her in her own home is a person, and her cousin Mary is the one who bears the Lord Messiah, who is finally coming into the world. And Elizabeth, in a loud voice, mouths the first Christmas song. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Elizabeth knew the glory, the honor which had been bestowed upon Mary. So she said, blessed are you among women. I mean, when you think about it, God was looking for a woman he could trust, a woman who would accept, a woman who would be open to his movement in their life, a woman who would look beyond the things that the world could do to her, and they would say, I will be doing what God wants me to do. You think about the total opposite of what our parent Eve did in the garden. She had everything to gain by believing God's word, yet she traded it. Mary had everything to lose by believing God's word, yet she believed it. Blessed are you for doing that. Mary has been honored throughout the generations for her special privilege of being chosen by God to bring his message of love, his sign of love, his amazing love into the world. And Elizabeth in 42, it actually means to shout the first Christmas song. It's not a praise or a prayer about Mary herself, but it's about the blessings that are there because Mary has been open to and involved herself into God's plan for the world as well as her life. In verse 42, there are two different words translated blessed. Verse 42, the word is like eulogy, eulogeno, which usually thinks of a eulogy of a funeral, but it really describes a positive speaking about a person's life, to praise or to speak well of or to honor. And Elizabeth's saying, you and the baby are going to be the most honored people because of your being open and willing to follow God's plan. The other word is blessed in verse 45, which means more about being favored by God because you're responsive to and open to, and God knows your heart. Mary, you are affirmed because with all of the positive dangers in accepting God's will, you still chose to submit and open yourself to his will and his plan. Mary was a brave young girl. Mary had a heart that God knew he could call upon. Mary chose and agreed to be a part of God's plan, even when it could have meant death for her. Mary is a wonderful example of a totally committed follower of God. What do we hear about Mary after this? We do see Mary mentioned at the cross and at the resurrection, but after that, we have no further mention of her. We have no further mention of her in the Christian church or in their worship services. Nowhere do we have any scriptural indication that we should elevate her any higher. But again, we honor and we appreciate how Mary was a brave young girl, how she chose and agreed to be a part of God's plan, even at the possibility of her own personal harm. Mary is a wonderful example of a totally committed follower of God. And Mary's willingness, her openness, her trust, her commitment to God are a great blessing. And because of her commitment, God was able to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Both Elizabeth and Mary are a blessing because they are a part of God's plan. But note what Elizabeth says about Mary's unborn child. She calls him my Lord. As far as we know, Elizabeth is the only person to confess Jesus as my Lord while he's still in the womb. In Philippians 2, 10 to 11, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But Elizabeth proclaimed it first, but she won't be the last. A beautiful story, a wonderful story, given to us by the beautiful ages. Elizabeth proclaimed it, but she won't be the last to tell us this wonderful, wonderful Christmas song, the first one. So we draw some things from this. First of all, we receive wonderful blessings and gifts from this first Christmas song. The first one is, we have to learn from Elizabeth and from Mary the frustration and struggles and trials and things in life do not mean that God is not still at work in and for our lives. Elizabeth spent her whole lifetime being prepared to be John the Baptist's mother, and she didn't even know it. For years, she and Zechariah had prayed that the Lord would give them a child, and for just as many years, their prayer was going unanswered. Elizabeth experienced a lifetime of struggling over her barrenness in a culture where the only real purpose of that day was for a woman to bear and rear children. She must have wondered, what's wrong with me? What does God not like about me? Yet she did eventually have a child, a wonderful and heaven-sent and commissioned child. Deb and I have some friends who went throughout their whole lives wishing they had children, but they were not able to have children. They have, though, been great encouragers and examples and models to many other people's children, nieces and nephews and children in the church and children in the neighborhood, as well as youth and adults in their lives. Just you can see all kinds of people that have been touched by their walk with Christ in their lives. Recently, our friend, he turned 70. He's in good health. His wife's a few years younger. She's in good health. They spend most of their time now part-time in their motorhome, going to Florida, going out to California, just enjoying themselves, enjoying their retirement years as they go along in their lives. And then, recently, one of their nieces found themselves in a bad situation in her family. She had to be removed from the home, and she is facing a foster home. Well, guess who God led to become her foster parents? At 70 years old, they are now parents of a 14-year-old teenager. I hear you. That's talking about the frying pan into the fire, isn't it? And it's really an adjustment for them, but it's really a growth for them as well. You never know in your life, it may not be child-wise, you never know where you are in your life. We sit there and we look at our lives. We say, oh, Lord, I'm so frustrated. It's not working the way I always thought it would. Lord, it's not the way I would set it to be. It's not what I thought. Well, don't think that if you're giving your heart to Christ, that he's not still working in your life or using your life. Don't let the frustration of life mean that God is not working. He is working in your life. He wants to use your life. He wants to use you to encourage the people around you, to minister around you, to do whatever you can to be faithful, and you never know the impact you're making on people. That's why he said in Luke 1, 36 to 37, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren, is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. That's number two. It leads into that. Don't ever limit God. For nothing is impossible with God. These miraculous births are signs that God can, whenever he wants to, put aside the laws of nature, the natural order of things, to do whatever he wants to do. That wasp is back. Even send a wasp in your face. Don't ever limit God. Is there something in your life that you've been praying for? Don't limit God. It's something you've been longing for, and don't believe all the Hallmark things that miracles only happen at Christmas. They happen all the time. Don't ever limit God, for nothing is impossible with God, and he will move his heaven and his earth and his creation and all the order to do his will through your life if you open like Mary did, like Elizabeth did, and you open and give your life to him and say, Lord, just use me. Lord, whatever your will is, I will do. Lord, whatever you call me to do, I will do. For nothing is impossible with God. Third thing is the name of the first Christian song, I'm going to give it a name, is Leap for Joy. So get leaping. Just as John the Baptizer leaped in Elizabeth's wombs, our hearts should leap when we think how wondrously Jesus came in the world to save our souls. This morning, as we enter the joy, the celebration, the excitement of this first Christmas song, may our hearts leap and leap and leap in excitement. There's a leap of joy because the Christmas event shows that all things are possible with God. Our hearts leap for joy because God forms, shapes, and molds the lives which are turned over into his mighty hands. Our lives leap for joy because no matter how challenged our lives seem, no matter how much hurt, brokenness, or alienation there is, Jesus is our hope. Amen? So leap for joy. And that's the fourth one. Shout and sing this first Christmas song and every Christmas song. I mean, I want you in your workplace. I want you in your house. I want you in your car to be the one everybody hears singing those Christmas carols, the good ones, the spiritual ones, at the top of your lungs. I want you to start singing because that is the good news. That is the breaking in, the advent of God through Christ into our world to show his love. Start singing, start leaping, start really giving your heart and your life to him and see what God will do with that. And just give him the praise and the glory and the honor and the leaping for joy that he wants to and he deserves. Let us pray. Father God, as we have come today, help us, Lord, to be singing, to be leaping, to be rejoicing, Lord, and making ourselves available to you in whatever way we can, Lord. We just ask you to use our lives, bless our lives. We give our lives to you. Use them, Lord. We know nothing's impossible with you. And Lord, as we share with Elizabeth in this song, we think, Lord, what a blessing people are that give their lives and hearts to you. What a blessing we can be when we give our lives to you. We give them to you, Lord. We give them all to you. And Lord, we sing the song of praise, and we sing a song leaping in our hearts, Lord, for all that you've done for us as we begin this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.